Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board once again with us today as we face the issues. I pray that you're on board each day as we analyze what the Scripture says in relationship to the issues of life. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. So often individuals will go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or some counselor. Counseling is good if it's Christian counseling. But nevertheless, many times people will go to all points and beyond to try to seek out and find answers and directions on what to do and how to respond to issues that we're faced with in life. Multitudes of times, the very last place that an individual go, even Christians oftentimes, is going to the Word of God. That should be the first, foremost, and final decision maker for us. Is what does the Scripture say? When we look at the Scripture and analyze the Scripture, God has an answer for every part of life and living. If we're dealing with something in the social, economic, if we're dealing with something in the realm of doctrine and theology, something in relationship to the church and biblical truths, may I remind us, we can go to the Word of God. I've said many, many times on this broadcast, and perhaps you've heard it, the risk of redundancy, let me say it again. God created the home, He created government, He created the church, and in that order. So anything that we discuss in any of those categories is fully covered in the Word of God. And so I encourage you to seek out the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. And we cannot go wrong by following it, allowing it to be the light unto our pathway and the lamp unto our feet as we allow God to direct us. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." He said that to His disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I look at it in such a wonderful term that in John 17:17, Jesus tells us what the word of truth is. What is the truth? Thy word is truth. The Word of God is truth. It's not a book that contains truth. It is truth. From cover to cover, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, it is the truth. It is the truth of the Word of God. In fact, multitudes of people today are drifting from the basics of truth. And in fact, it was George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. So as a result of that, I think there are a lot of folks today that are shrinking back and trying to avoid speaking the truth because they might get someone that will disagree with them. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject, compromising the gospel. Compromising the gospel. Before we get into the monologue and the dialogue and discussion, let me remind you that you can dial at any time in this broadcast, 831-0917, 831-0917. Let me remind you that today's broadcast is the beginning of each day of not a half hour, but one full hour of broadcast time. At the top of the hour, we'll take a break for station identification and news and go back to the subject today, compromising the gospel. As we compromise the gospel, we're going against the Word of God, and so I pray that you'll tune in, listen for this entire broadcast today. Call a friend, relative, neighbor, acquaintance, associate. Tell them to tune in to this broadcast and listen today. It's very, very important. A couple of things that I want to make mention of is I call it a little housekeeping that needs to be done. But let me remind you that we're offering today a special book, one that perhaps you've heard me talk about before, but I want to tell you about it. It's one that I believe needs to be in the hand of every Christian. If you're saved, I want you to understand that we have the responsibility of inviting others to know Christ as Savior and as Lord. If you're saved, you have shunned hell and gained heaven. The book that I have had the privilege of authoring, producing, publishing, it's not but about 100 pages. It's just a few chapters long. It's called Please Don't Go to Hell. It is the biblical doctrine of hell. you very rarely will hear a pulpit message on the subject of hell. You very rarely hear any of these on the Heresy Broadcast Networks that are the mega church pastors that want to win friends and influence people, as I call it. They'll not talk about hell, but I want this to be in your hands. So anyone that wants to sponsor any portion of the broadcast, Let's Face the Issues, if you want to underwrite any portion of it and any amount that you send, we'll send it to you. We'll pay the postage. We'll pay the shipping. We'll send the book to you free of charge if you send any contribution toward this broadcast. You can make a check payable to First Conservative Baptist Church, mail it to us, or you can call 262-7777, get the further information, or place it on your charge card, whatever the Lord would have you to do. If this is a blessing to you, if this broadcast is a blessing, we want to be a blessing to you also. And I believe there's nothing like good theological, doctrinal, biblical books that we can learn what the Scripture says. This book is not written with a bunch of candy-coated information. It is simply verses and verses and verse after verse validating the truth that the Bible teaches that that place called hell is very, very real. Let me remind you too, ladies and gentlemen, that this portion of the broadcast today is sponsored by Tools for a Time, a locally owned outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking for their own landscaping and lawn care business. Tools for a Time also carries equipment for the discerning homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Right now, it's a great time, they say, to think about the hurricane preparedness. And Tools for a Time has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer any of your questions about backup power equipment in the need. Drop by Tools for a Time today for all of your equipment needs. Tools for a Time conveniently located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Or you can look them up, toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. I'm thankful to have them on board as a sponsor for this portion of today's broadcast. Looking forward to good news from what they say in relationship to how you're responding. Drop in, call them, go by and visit with them to meet the needs that you have with power equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the subject today, compromising the gospel, I think we need to understand what that word compromising really means. It's a term, by the way, that's used in Washington. It's a term that's used in political arenas in both political parties across the aisles. It's a term that is used in every state house and every place of House of Representatives and Senate. It's used in city council here in our own city. It is the term compromise. What does the word compromise really connote? What does it mean? Let me just give you what Webster's Dictionary says. According to Webster's Dictionary, compromise is an agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by both sides making concessions. Further, the statement says, the definition, the acceptance of standards that are lower than desirable, end quote. Let me read that portion again. Compromise, Webster's Dictionary, the acceptance of standards that are lower than is desirable, end quote. Now, the question that begs to be asked and answered is, and that's where we're going in this broadcast today, is should we as Christians compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, we have issues that are abounding about us in society today that's absolutely contrary to and conflicting with the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Should Christians embrace these things, these sins, these issues that are against the Word of God in order to get along and go along with others around us? And that's exactly what's happening in the political arena today. Too often we elect individuals, ladies and gentlemen, that have ethical standards, they have ideals, they have morals and values, and those that we all view as honorable. We vote for them, we put them in office. Then after going into office, they are fearful of being left out. They're fearful of being not in the good old boys club in the system, and therefore they compromise. And by the way, let me just give you an example of that. This past legislative session in Tallahassee, there was several bills, but one of them in particular that I was closely related to and had a lot of communication with the sponsor of the bill. It was the heartbeat bill. It was the bill that was introduced in the House that says if once the heartbeat of a child is heard in the womb of the mother, it is illegal to murder that baby by abortion. And that was sponsored by Mike Hill, House District 1 out of Pensacola. Mike is a Christian. He's a Christian lawyer. He's a Christian first. and he's also a legislator. He introduced that legislation. It was needed. It was honorable. But the House leadership was not asked, may I, can I, should I? Mike didn't go to them and say, please let me introduce this bill. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, they don't have to. A representative does not have to. Each representative's got six slots that can introduce any bills that he think is needful and necessary for the constituency in his district or for the state of Florida. And that's, by the way, it's not just for the state of Florida. That's the approach that's used across the nation. It's the approach that's used in the U.S. House of Representatives. But Mike introduced that bill. And because he did not ask, may I, can I, should I, and as I call it, kiss the ring of the ones that's the leadership, it was not even allowed to get out of committee. It died in committee as a result of that. The case of the Florida House meat bill was, I think, detestable. By the way, I just had a conversation with him, and I'm thankful to say it's going to be reintroduced. The legislative session begins in January of 2020. It's not late in the session as normally they are. It starts early, so they're already introducing bills, and that bill is already being introduced. And it's my prayer that we will look to the Lord and have that passed. But the point that I'm making is that that was compromised. They were wanting him to compromise. And many times when it comes to House leadership, when it comes to Senate leadership across the nation and locally, that desired compromise is saying, you help me with my bill and I'll help you with your bill. Now, mind the fact that your bill may be one that is ungodly, unholy, and unethical and against the Word of God. And therefore, as a Christian legislator, as Christians in general, as pastors, and as Christians in general, we cannot compromise, ladies and gentlemen. Compromise is not scriptural whatsoever. It is not biblical. It is something that is unholy, ungodly, and unethical, if you will, in particular when it comes to the scripture. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy, if you read the whole text of 1 Timothy, several times Paul mentions to former Christian leaders of swerving from the faith, wandering from the faith, making shipwreck your faith. And I think many times, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what happens in the realm of the Christian faith. It is compromising the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today there seems to be a push. There seems to be a push, a demonic delusion among multitudes of churches and ministries and Christian leaders to embrace or to accept, for example, the LGBTQ, to accept abortion, which is murder. In fact, multitudes of churches today, multitudes of denominations have already gone the pathway of others, and that is to embrace the LGBTQ. For lack of a better term, it's not gay, it's not homosexual. The Bible calls it a sodomite lifestyle. LGBTQ, and they're wanting to add now LGBTQP, which would include the perverts called the pedophiles. They're pushing for that. That'll be the next thing on the agenda on a national level if some of the legislation is passed that they're trying to get through now. But multitudes of churches and Christians and pastors and spiritual leaders are compromising on the subject of the LGBTQ agenda, compromising on abortion, compromising on marijuana, that is pot. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in. We'll do other broadcasts on this subject to cover it more completely. Realize in the state of Florida, we already have medical marijuana, as it is called. It's a sham. It is marijuana today, and it's being grown. They have pot shops on just about every street corner in our city today. And it's a joke when you say you've got to have a medical condition to buy the pot. But did you realize, and most are not aware of this, they are already pushing. They've got to have 677,000 signatures on a petition to get it put on the agenda for November 2020, to make recreational marijuana legal in the state of Florida. And I'm sure you do not know that. They already have 77,000 signatures for that. It's already being reviewed by the Supreme Court of the state of Florida to make sure that the 90 words or wording on the agenda for the referendum on the ballot for 2020, that it will meet the scrutiny of the courts, and I'm sure that will pass. John Morgan of the Morgan Law Firm has already said he spent $3.3 million of his own money at this point pushing that. But ladies and gentlemen, it's coming like a swarm, I'm not hearing anything from pulpits today, from preachers today, that will preach against the sodomite lifestyle, that's preaching against marijuana, that's preaching against abortion, murder by way of abortion. I don't hear that from the pulpits. Every mainline Christian denomination today, ladies and gentlemen, has in some way embraced the LGBTQ agenda. In fact, may I simply read a verse or two of Scripture that validates what is taking place? And I'm saddened to say it. I'm saddened for us to see it. I'm saddened as a Christian and as a pastor to understand that this is what we're doing. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and following, the Apostle Paul says, "For the time will come." And ladies and gentlemen, if I can do this without any abuse of the Scripture, "for," it's a little Greek word, gar, means because. Because the time will come, and may I say the time has come, when they will not endure sound, that endure means to put up with, to tolerate, to allow, sound doctrine. That word sound is in the Greek text a medical term. It means solid, healthy. They will not put up with, will not endure sound, healthy doctrine. That word doctrine means teaching. "But after their own lust," their own cravings, their own desire, "shall they heap," that is stack one upon the other. The idea of the heaping together is seeing a stack that you layer after layer after layer, you add to the stack. "Heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth." Remember, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." "Will turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned," and that is a medical term again in the Greek text, means to be twisted, to be moved, if you will, twisting the joint out of place, "and will be twisted, turned unto fables." The word fables is the word mythos, myths. And today, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of myths out there that are being embraced by Christians and churches and denominations and organizations. Listen to what I've just said. Every denomination, without exception, every denomination without exception, have today, as of this broadcast, they have embraced some type or some portion of the agenda of the, as I call it, the progressives, as it's called in the political circles, the progressive agenda, and that is the social justice agenda, the agenda of the LGBTQ, the murder by way of abortion agenda, the Planned Parenthood agenda, which includes the abortion, marijuana. In fact, we are in the age of the millennials today, 18 to 35-year-old age group, and multitudes of them simply have a belief that we need, if it is legal, that it's okay. If it's legal, you can embrace it. If it's legal, it makes it right. Notwithstanding, it can be legal, and yet it is not right biblically. There's a vast difference. And being secularly legal and being authorized biblically, there's a vast difference in that, ladies and gentlemen. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is where we are today. Perhaps you'll recall that within the past several months, even the Pope has had some unusual things to say. And I could talk about things that said from multitudes of others, and I'll talk about a few of them during the course of this broadcast. But recently there have been some quotes and statements made by the Pope that should frighten anybody, whether you're Roman Catholic or evangelical of other denominations. For example, the Pope has said, "Homosexuality is not a sin, that God created you that way, and that's your tendencies. You need not to call it sin, need not to worry about it, because God created you that way." Ladies and gentlemen, God does not create a person outside of what he has created with male and female created he them, the Scripture says. He created male and female. He created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He didn't create Lucy and Lila. He created Adam and Eve. He created two people, two genders, that is male and female. In fact, here's the article. "Don't jump to conclusions about your children's sexuality," the Pope says. Vatican City, April the 1st, 2019, 11:40 a.m. Pope Francis said Sunday that homosexual tendencies are not a sin. And ladies and gentlemen, he's made a lot of other statements in relationship to what the biblical text would refer to as sin. In fact, the Pope has said very blatantly, ladies and gentlemen, that hell is not real. You need not worry about that place called hell. It doesn't exist. I don't know what he thinks. I don't know why he has so changed his position. It's always been understood that hell is real. The Bible says so. The book that I just mentioned that I've had the privilege of writing and authoring and publishing, Please Don't Go to Hell, The Biblical Doctrine of Hell, is real. In hell, there's no returning. In hell, there's eternal damnation. In hell, there's eternal doom and devastation. in hell, you're alone. You're not with your buddies. As some will say, well, I just go down and I'll be in hell, get drunk with my buddies. There won't be any buddies there. You'll be isolated and alone for all of eternity. But the Pope says there's no hell. The Pope says the Bible must be rewritten because it's not in harmony with modern society. The Pope said that the Lord's Prayer is wrong and it should be rewritten and updated. And I could go on and on and on. But listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The Pope is not alone in some of this aberrant thought, some of these aberrant sayings, some of these things that's being bounded about today, and several have bought into it as being all right. The pulpits today are either silent about these issues, they're silent about the moral, ethical implications, they're silent about the fact that we're finding within the realm of the political arena the taking away of our ethical, moral, biblical, theological rights. In fact, through what is taking place today on a secular level, through the House of Representatives and the Senate, and across the nation by local legislation and rules and regulations being promulgated, we're finding that we're absolutely abrogating our responsibility as Christians, as pastors, as leaders. We're abandoning our position in society today. Bill of Rights is very, very clear. Amendment 1, Congress shall make no laws representing, respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. But ladies and gentlemen, we're finding our First Amendment rights, religious liberties and free speech, being abridged every day. And I hear silence from the pulpits. Oh, yes, I hear the agenda with multitudes of pastors today. Rick Warren out in California on the left coast has the Islamic jihadist imams coming in his pulpit and having to call to prayer, call to Allah. And he tells his people that Allah and God are the same. He has promulgated that for the past several years. One Christian leader in America says that he will be responsible for sending more people to hell than Satan ever dreamed possible. You have those that will embrace homosexuality and not say anything about it. Joel Osteen would ask, is homosexuality a sin? When he was being interviewed on television some months back, and he laughed and he said, I'll not say that. God's called me just to encourage people, not to condemn people. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not me condemning anybody. It's what the Word of God says. It's what the Scripture says. And so, therefore, we need to stand on the Scripture. If we don't, we're compromising the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question or comment. Perhaps you agree or disagree. We're talking about today compromising the gospel. Compromising the gospel. Recently, you recall David Platt. David Platt, by the way, is a good guy. I don't know him personally, but I know those that do. They say he's a good man. David Platt is a hyper-Calvinist. He doesn't believe in the rapture of the church. As a Calvinist, he believes that God's already saved who's going to save, and that you don't have volitional choice. You can't get saved on your own volition. You can't just simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. He believes God's already done that, predestination, it is called. But David Platt recently had the privilege of having President Trump drop in his church, impromptu to drop in. And he thought, well, I'll do the biblical thing found in the Scripture in the 1 Timothy text, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, where it talks about praying for those that are over you, those of the leadership, the kings and prime ministers, potentates and princes and presidents, as I call it. And he did that. He openly, President Trump stood on the platform. David Platt put his hand on his shoulders and prayed for our president. That is absolutely phenomenal. That is absolutely biblical. That is honorable. But, ladies and gentlemen, when David Platt had a few of his congregation that evidently were loose likes, lost liberals, as I call it, or evidently they were the part of the Socialist Democratic Party, I don't know. But nevertheless, a number of his members somehow whined about what he had done. Somehow they bemoaned the fact that he had prayed for a Republican president. And so David Platt, in an open letter, because of those dissenting voices, sent an open letter apologizing for his prayer for what he had done, apologizing for it. Yet the Scripture is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that his prayer for the president was biblical and correct. I'm saddened to see that approach being taken. But ladies and gentlemen, this is happening across the nation today. This is the reason we have church pulpits that are filled with those that do not want to rattle cages, do not want to in any way cause anyone to feel like they might be a sinner. Andy Stanley is one that says that we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament. Andy Stanley says the only thing that is important today, the only one of the Ten Commandments today, is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He says that's the only one that's important. Ladies and gentlemen, without diminishing that, keep in mind, Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, think not that I've come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. So when Andy Stanley says the Ten Commandments are not relevant for the modern Christian, he's absolutely wrong. If you come unhitched from the Old Testament, then you're unhitching from all of the fundamental foundation, the warp and the woof that forms the foundation for the New Testament. Without the Old Testament, we have no foundation for the New Testament. You find in the New Testament 300 and some odd times where the Old Testament is directly quoted. So, therefore, he is wrong. But I'm pointing out the fact that, of course, he says he has 34,000 people in his congregation. And I think that we have been eaten up today, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll listen very carefully, the thing that's eating away at the foundation of our churches and ministries and the doctrine of the Scripture is the desire by the Christian leaders, the spiritual leaders, to have numbers, nickels, and noses, not to offend anybody, to make sure the pews are filled, make sure the coffers are filled, make sure that you have high profile and everything is okay. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not call any pastor, preacher, teacher of the Word of God to appease people, but to preach the Word. No place in the Word of God, for example, do you find that God has called me or you as a Christian to defend the fact of God's presence. In the beginning, God, the Scripture says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God is the de facto statement. And someone said on one occasion to me, said, wanted to know if I was going to the idea that some way that I am to defend God. I don't have the responsibility of defending God. I have the responsibility of preaching God. Preaching the Word of God is my responsibility. But just a few days ago, ladies and gentlemen, we'll touch on this. Just a few days ago, a mega church pastor resigned his church and relinquished his Christian faith. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you can relinquish your faith, what kind of faith is it? Remember, and you've heard me use the little cliche, the faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first. You hear me? The faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first. Yes, Joshua Harris, mega church pastor, author of several books, resigned his church and relinquished his faith. Now, I don't know how you do that. But we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But I'm sad to see this taking place across the nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break and come right back in a moment. I have station identification. And right after our news break, we'll come back and complete our broadcast today on Let's Face the Issues. We invite you to stay tuned, call others, tune in, Let's Face the Issues, right after the break.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.